All right, wish to greet you all this morning in Jesus' precious name. It's a blessing to be back with you again. Bring greetings from the brethren in Mexico. I had a baptism there and baptized 3 souls while we were there. Keep them in your prayer, keep the brethren there. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Lord, we just ask your blessing, Father, on this time together. Lord, we just ask you to fill us with your Spirit, God, that you'd help us, Father, that you'd give us wisdom, Father, as we open your word. Lord, that you'd help us hear it and apply it. Lord, again, we just thank you for all you do for us. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Lord willing, we'll have a baptism here in a few minutes. Well, I want to open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 25. Again in verse 31. It says, but when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep on his right and the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. I want to just kind of set a little bit of a, you know, whenever the Lord returns, he'll come in his glory. You know, a lot of people are, and don't want to get into a lot of theology about it, but when the Lord returns, he'll be here and he'll come with his angels and it'll be the judgment day. And he was set on his glorious throne. And all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. You know, there's no escaping this. When the Lord returns, all the nations, it doesn't matter, rich or poor, small or great, everyone will stand before the Lord. And that's the glorious thing that he's given us this time. Preparation, this time to be ready. All the nations will be gathered before him and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. You know, just reading this, when we think about the judgment day, God doesn't need any help. Jesus won't need any help. He knows those who are his and those who are not. He doesn't need, you know, a lot of times we get to thinking that we're pretty important and we get to thinking we need to determine who is and who isn't and all those things. But the reality is the Lord knows. And our best hope is to let that in his hands. You know, we I think one of the things that we forget, we read about that song, or we sang the song that there's a jar. Somebody left a gate ajar for me. And the boys talked about walking humbly with God. And, you know, if we realize that Christ saved us, Christ forgave us, we have nothing to brag about. And we have nothing to exalt ourselves over anybody. But it seems that the more religious we get, the more holy we get, the more we take it upon ourselves to make sure we start doing this dividing and sorting all these things out ourselves. We look at the world today and in Christianity, and as much as, you know, everyone talks about Christianity being a worldwide religion, the shape of the world kind of gives us another idea or another clue of that. You know, whenever there's light in the world, darkness is restrained. And when darkness is unrestrained, it's because there's just not much light. You know, whenever the Bible talked about, or Abraham, whenever he saw Sodom and Gomorrah, Abraham pled with him. He heard that God was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham pled with God and said, "If there's 10 righteous people, will you spare it?" And God said, "Yes, there's 10 there, I'll spare it." And he went on down and he got to, he may have started higher than that even, but if there's just a few righteous people there, I will spare it. You see, God doesn't destroy the world because of sin. God destroys or judges the world because there's not enough light to preserve the world. Jesus talked about the salt, being the salt of the earth. Salt is a preservative, being a light, the light of the earth. Light dispels darkness. Salt preserves. And I've seen it. You know, you go into areas and you get a little group established, or you just begin walking in the light. Not getting religious, just walking in the light. And pretty soon, it grows. Not necessarily just, the church is getting bigger and bigger, but the tide rises, and people around you begin doing better whenever there's light there, when there's salt, and the tide rises. And I mean, I've just seen it over and over that one man gets converted and begins following the Lord, and pretty soon his whole family is completely different, even though they may be different, but well, they're all talking about following the Lord and doing better. Might be some differences, but it raises the tide. That's what I'm trying to say. And yet we look around the Christian world today, and we see a lot of people that profess to have that light, profess to be that salt, and a lot of them. And they're so caught up bickering about doctrine or theology or some little thing that they can't get along. And, well, we'll just divide and divide and divide and have so many different denominations. And if you think denominations is all right, just think about divorces. division, because it's the same thing. You know, I think the reason the world is in the shape it is in is because the church is in the shape it is in. And when God looks on the church and sees people just bickering and fussing and causing problems with one another and making sure I'm up here and they're not, they're not reflecting light and they're not being any salt. You can do that with any religion. The Lord knows the sheep from the goats. And we can look at the fruit of things to see that something is wrong in the world. And it may have to be this way before the Lord returns. He does get to a place where he says, that's all. That's enough. It does mention that there will be a few sheep here. There'll be some division. And some on his right hand and some on his left. But the idea or the thought is that if everybody is, you know, the Christianity is just, it's just fine just to go about this method, this way of just dividing, you know, you go places and there's 25 different churches, the plain churches or that are actually trying to put into practice the New Testament teachings, then none of them will commune with each other. None of them will fellowship with each other. What kind of example is that to the world? What kind of message are we giving to the world? And it is important that we put into practice Jesus' teachings. But that is part of them too. You know, we look in the Old Testament and we see whenever Jesus came to the world, they didn't know who he was. All the religious people, there was a big, powerful religious movement going on of Jewish people. And they didn't know who he was when he came. They missed him. And the same thing's going to happen again the next time. That's just the way it works. I read in the New Testament a lot about the Jesus talked to the Jewish people and said they went about to establish their own righteousness. They got the righteousness, and some say according to the law. They've got the righteousness. So we look back at that and say, oh, they were bad. Because they've got a righteousness according to the law. We've got a righteousness according to the New Testament. But it's going to be sad when we find out that their own righteousness is maybe going to be just like our own righteousness. You know, we have the righteousness of the law in the Old Testament that we're talked about, but I think today there's people that have a righteousness according to the Bible. And they're right. And it's, they have the same arguments, same attitude, same everything as the Jewish people did. Will it be different when Jesus returns? Will we know him? The king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, and naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you. The king will answer and say to them, truly I say unto you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me. You see, these that were set aside on the right hand of the Father, and the Lord asked them what, you know, they asked the Lord, what, why are we here? And the Lord told him, you know, because you did all these things for me. And they said, when did we do that? And he said, when you've done it to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. One of the things I want to point out, what I see in this passage is these men weren't dead sure they were right. They didn't have it all figured out to the point that I'm going to separate myself from everybody else because I'm right. They just were. They just did. They were just the light. They were just the salt. And they didn't have to have it all figured out who fit in what camp. One of the things that you know, I think of walk humbly with thy God when I think about these people. What did we do? I think that's a good picture of that. Usually the more indignant that we are right, the better chance that we're wrong. I don't know how many times I've seen this with people. They might have the right point. They might have a lot of right things, and they may be dead on right. But we can be dead right and be dead wrong. These people that the Lord found on his side, they weren't the ones saying, I'm right, I've got the Bible, I'm standing on it, I don't. They just went out and did it. A lot of times they were cast aside. You read all about the martyrs and the people in the Bible. They just, or the people in history that been faithful were rejected, despised, just like Jesus was, because they didn't fit in all the boxes. They didn't tick all the things that everybody, or that they thought everybody ought to fit into. That indignation, or that realizing that I'm right, and I'm not saying we don't stand for things, but stand for them for yourself. And you'll have to stand. It takes more courage to do that whenever you just know you've got to do what you've got to do. But that, the problem is, it comes when there comes this indignation that comes with it, or a pride. And I think that's exactly what it is. It's just a pride that we're kind of up here and you're not. King will answer and say to them, truly, I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these my brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me. I've just been amazed, just reading the Bible, how much the judgment day, that we are creating our own judgment day. We are creating our own judge. Jesus is not going to just be up there with a cookie cutter. Every one of us has set the pattern, or sent the pattern ahead, that we're going to be judged by. And here's one of them is, what you've done to the least of these, my brethren. I'm not talking about the, he said the least of these, my brethren. That's just how you treated me. You know, Jesus also said that as we forgive, that's how we'll be forgiven. Forgive us our trespassers as we forgive those who trespass. We're sending the mold on. I'm not going to forgive him. He did me wrong. Oh, that guy was... That person really hurt me, and I'm not going to let it go. I'm not going to forgive. We're doing is sending the pattern of what we're going to be judged by. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. I don't know, we've talked about it before. Whenever we've tasted, we found that jar, that gate open, that opened up into mercy and forgiveness and grace. And then can't turn around and give that to something else, to someone else. One man that had the debt and the king forgave it, and he went out and found the guy that just owed him a little bit of debt and had him thrown in jail and beaten. The king brought him up back and said, as you judged, I'm going to judge you. Whenever we've seen, tasted, known forgiveness, the natural thing is just to turn and be able to give it to somebody else. Whenever we've tasted mercy and grace, the natural thing is to just turn and be a reflection of that. And that's where light comes. See, we're not on it because, well, we found a Bible verse and we're going to stand on it and be perfect church. The perfect church simply reflects Christ because we have nothing on our own. We're just a reflection of what we see and what we've tasted. And our message to the world is a message of one, look what I've found. Look what I've tasted. And because of that, I want to walk with God. I want to yield myself. He shows us these things to show us where we're missing Him so that we can see that light and be a pure reflection of it. Then He will say to those on His left, depart from me, you accursed ones, into eternal fire, which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick, and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they themselves also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry and thirsty, or a stranger and naked, or in prison and not take care of you? Then he will answer them, truly I say unto you, to the extent that you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it unto me. These will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. You see, the proud that had it all figured out were surprised on the judgment day. And they were wrong. The humble were surprised because they weren't expecting anything. They were just doing things. I think the judgment day is going to be the biggest day of surprises that there ever will be. Jesus talked about it. How many will say, Lord, Lord, didn't we do all those good things? And he said, depart from me. I never knew you. He that does the will of my Father. The will of the Father is not being some super saint. The will of the Father is being a reflection of Jesus. reflecting that love and mercy and patience and forgiveness and long-suffering and help. May the Lord add His blessings to these thoughts. We'll maybe leave it open for a minute to share. Well, maybe a few fathers for these that are going to be baptized want to relate the desire of these girls.
My daughter, Priscilla, has asked to be baptized, and we're just thrilled and happy. Just pray for her that she can just walk through life and be faithful and just follow the Lord and just be fully devoted to Him. And just really thankful.
Amen. Yes, baptism is a commitment, the death, dying to ourselves, and choosing to follow Jesus. And whenever young people first get baptized, they're pretty serious about that. But sometimes as we go along, that kind of doesn't mean as much. And, well, I'm baptized, but that doesn't necessarily mean, you know, if we forgot our first love, we forgot it. That's just all there is to it. So maybe as we witness this baptism and this commitment here, that we could re-examine our own lives and see if we're still where we were or not. So, all right, if y'all want to come on up.
Thank you.
come before you this morning and thank you, God, for your goodness and your mercy. Lord, thank you for your grace and your life. We just ask your blessing, Father, on hope and mercy. Father, we just ask you to fill them with your spirit. As you give them wisdom, as you help them to be faithful all their days. Lord, as you help them, it's your will that they grow up and be godly young women, wives, mothers. Lord, let the heart and their desire would be to follow you and to be like you. Again, we just thank you in Jesus' precious name.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus.
Share. All right. Well, God bless you all, each one attended. Lord willing, we'll meet back here at 6 o'clock for fellowship meal and communion. God be with you till we meet again.